our last chapter in the book. Okay, so it's chapter 9, the posture of self-examination. So Jonathan Edwards knew that the ongoing assessment of his spiritual life was absolutely necessary in his pursuit of holiness. An unexamined life, in his view, was simply not worth living, for such a life could not bring glory to God. And since bringing glory to God is the reason we exist, not to do that would be to say you've lived a life that is worthless. So therefore he committed himself to the constant surveillance of his Christian walk, regularly auditing his attitudes and appraising his actions. And if we turn over the page, kind of the middle of the page, that paragraph, second sentence. From the time of his conversions, Edwards understood the importance of ongoing self-investigation. Several of Edwards' resolutions reflect his commitment. And it is necessary to study these resolutions in order to understand Edwards' piety. Moreover, self-examination is critical to our own spiritual growth. So the first one that we look at, it's under the heading Examined Conversion. In his 25th resolution, Edwards sought to counter his doubts about God's love for him. He purposed to probe the depths of his soul to ascertain why he ever would question the love of God. And fundamentally, Edwards wanted to be sure he was truly converted. And thus the resolution is, resolve to examine carefully and constantly what that one thing in me is which causes me in the least to doubt the love of God and to direct all my forces against it. So whatever caused him to doubt the love of God, he wanted to eradicate it, and so would focus all his guns upon it, so to speak. And the sentence done. He longed for assurance of his salvation. To his dismay, however, he found that he sometimes had doubts about his state before God. So he purposed to examine that one thing that caused him uncertainty. In the first entry of his diary, Edwards made a reference to this concern about the validity of his salvation. He says, "The reason why I in the least question my interest in God's love and favor is one, because I cannot speak so fully to my experience of that preparatory work of which divines speak. Secondly, I do not remember that I experienced regeneration exactly in those steps in which divines say is generally wrought." Okay, he's talking about the writings of like the Puritans and what he's read and their testimony about what conversion looks like. And he's saying, I don't see my life experience having that of what they're talking about in coming to conversion. So he saw a great discrepancy between his experience of conversion and what many of the Puritans wrote about. 3, I do not feel the Christian graces sensibly enough, particularly faith. I fear they are only such hypocritical outside affections, which wicked men may feel, as well as others. They do not seem to be sufficiently inward, full, sincere, entire, and hearty. They do not seem so substantial and so wrought into my very nature as I could wish. And 4, because I am sometimes guilty of sins of omission and commission. All these things troubled him and caused him to doubt whether he was saved. So he returned to this theme of assurance of salvation in a diary entry the next year, where he says, "The chief thing that now makes me in any measure to question my good estate is my not having experienced conversion in those particular steps wherein the people of New England and the anciently of the dissenters of the Old England used to experience it. Wherefore now resolved never to leave searching till I satisfyingly found out the very bottom and foundation, and the real reason why they used to be converted in those steps." So the very things that the way they used to be converted, he's going to investigate and say, why did they have it happen to them and this has not happened to me, so how do we evaluate this? So Edwards was concerned that his conversion experience did not fit with what he had been taught was the normal pattern. According to Puritan heritage, conversion was normally an arduous process rather than a single moment. But Edwards had never experienced a prolonged pre-conversion agony over sin. Okay, so the Puritans would write about this incredible groaning and anguish and terror and torment as they were brought to a position of conversion, and Edwards had no such experience. His father, if you remember, had a very strong view in this regard, that you needed this kind of very deliberate, pained experience of weeping and groaning about your sin. So his father, on the one hand, was emphasized that really strongly. And you had other Puritans like William Perkins that talked about legal terrors. So you'd have these legal terrors where you were just stricken by the law of God and the judgment and the wrath resting upon you. And Edwards had none of those. Jonathan Edwards said that it never seemed proper to describe his concerns about his situation with the word terror. He says, I can't describe my situation with that word. Okay, that's from his diary. So that was his struggle. So he was understanding, okay, I don't have this, therefore I'm questioning my salvation. As a result, he often did not feel like a Christian. He feared his religious ardor might be only hypocritical outside affections, kind of superficial, non-saving attitude towards Christ that even the wicked may feel. He was struggling in many ways. And so in his entry on the next page, page 143, about halfway down that Friday, May 28th, he says, I will continue to pray to God not to suffer me to be deceived about it, nor to sleep in an unsafe condition. And every and anon will call all into question and try myself, using for help some of our old divines, that God may have opportunities to answer my prayers and the Spirit of God to show me my error if I am in one. Okay, so he's going to seek God and use the divines, which is about five sentences down the next section. First, so he would continue to seek certainty about his salvation. First, he would plead with God not to allow him to be deceived about the condition of his soul. Second, he occasionally would try to test himself, that God might show him any error he was making in his understanding of his spiritual condition. Okay, so Edward's doubts about God's love for him were rooted in suspicions about his own love for God. So he concluded that if he did not love God supremely, he had reason to question whether he had saving faith. But it continues, Edwards was at a loss as to why the Puritans had insisted that salvation must always come about by prolonged conviction and violent repentance. Why had he been converted with ease and made to know the sweetness and the beauty of God's holiness? Was his experience valid? So then he resolves, you know, he said, okay, I'm going to keep searching, and refer to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Okay, but how do you examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith? What is the foundation? What is the basis for doing that? Okay, you test yourself by the Word of God, but it's faith and trust in the whole of what God has revealed. And the whole of what God has revealed encompasses many different aspects of the Christian life. It encompasses, be ye holy as I, the Lord, am holy. If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, it has those instructions, but it also has, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. It also has the struggling with sin. It also has the repentance. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, in 1 John. So it's got all those different passages. So Edwards, in one sense, it seems, was focusing upon, well, my love for God, I don't feel the intensity of the love that I should have. And you're saying, okay, because I'm not giving him a perfect love, I question my salvation. There's a misunderstanding of what the Christian life is like and the real struggles that the believer continues to live in. And so when you say, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith, you've got to examine yourself by the whole of God's Word. And you'll see at that stage, yes, I love the truth, I desire to do the truth, I'm trusting in the Word that says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. I do that. Yes, I fail. Yes, I don't succeed in doing with my might whatever my hand finds to do, but that is my goal. So you've got all those dynamics coming in, and they need to play in. So sanctification, you can be disappointed with yourself. I'm not sanctified enough because I'm not achieving at the highest level, and we should try and achieve at the highest level. But sanctification should not call into question our justification, thinking, well, am I even a Christian? Am I saved? Am I one of God's children? So we need to keep those things separate, although they're not, we don't separate them, but in our understanding of how I can be sure about my salvation, how I can be sure that I'm a child of God, has to rest on what Christ has done, what He has accomplished. And then our sanctification is a responsibility, and we often can become disappointed in ourselves because we're not as sanctified as we would like to be. But that is something else that we fight to become more sanctified from a foundation of security in God's presence and a trust and confidence in His love. Okay, the next section is exposed sin. Edwards further proposed to examine himself in order to uproot indwelling sin. Okay, the weeds of iniquity must be removed if the pleasant flowers of holiness are to blossom. So resolution 37 said, resolve to inquire every night as I am going to bed whether I have been negligent, what sin I have committed, and wherein I have denied myself. Also, at the end of the week, month, and year. that he's going to do this. He wants to do it every day. He wants to do it at the end of every week, at the end of every month, and every year. I would think if you're doing it every day, then you're doing it every day. But maybe he wants to take a bigger picture. I'm evaluating today, but then at the end of the month, you're going to sit back and say, well, how have I coped this month? So on the top of page 145, in this soul exploration, he would consider first where he had been negligent in his Christian duties. He knew he must not become slack, because any failure to observe a divine command is sin. James 4:17, he who knows to do good and doesn't do it, it is sin. Okay, so he's trying to evaluate, okay, what I did today, how I went through the day, was there anything that I was negligent about? Second, I would note what sin I have committed and promptly confess it, 1 John 1:9. And third, he would investigate where he had denied himself in daily cross-bearing. Okay, so where he had carried his own cross, you know, where he had denied himself to carry the cross of Christ, he would evaluate where he had done that. Because we can get through the day and realize, well, we've done good things, we've kind of followed the truth and stuff, but have I really sacrificed myself? Have I denied myself? So Edwards also tried to look ahead and anticipate what sins he might be prone to in various situations. So he says, January the 9th, I think it would be advantageous every morning to consider my business and temptations and what sins I should be exposed to that day, and to make a resolution how to improve the day and to avoid those sins. Okay, so that seems like a thing. You sit down and you say, okay, what am I going to have to accomplish today? I've got to do these things, and I've got to meet with my boss, and I really get irritated by him. Okay, so maybe I should prepare myself for how I should deal with him when I meet with him later on today, so that I don't sin in my reaction to his reaction. So he's resolving, okay, this is how I'm going to act, this is how I'm going to prepare myself. So whatever it is, if I'm going to be impatient, or I'm going to get angry, or I tend to, on these days when, you know, everybody else is out the office, I tend to be lazy. So I need to prepare myself. I don't want to be lazy today. So, you know, whatever it is, it's not a bad thing to say, you know, I try and head off the potential sins in advance and say, what do I need to be on my guard for? Okay, then further down, page 145, that footnote number 10 appears. Edwards fought a desire for others to have a good opinion of him. Consequently, he pledged to take careful note of everything he said about himself in conversation that was self-promoting, and then to repent whenever he discovered self-centered pride in his speech. The last kind of sentence at one bottom of 145. He purposed to block off entire days for self-examination. Sometimes to set apart over the page a day for the consideration of the greatness of my sins, at another time to consider the dreadfulness and certainty of the future misery of ungodly men, to meditate upon eternal damnation. It can be a helpful spiritual exercise. At another, the truth and the certainty of religion, meaning of the Christian faith, how firm and immovable the truth of God is, and also of the great future things promised and threatened in Scripture. So to meditate upon these things is good for building us up. And what these things would do would sharpen his effectiveness for the Lord. Okay, next we have the inspected life. A couple of sentences down. He knew that some decisions he would face would be between good and evil, but others would be between good and better. And so resolution 41, resolve to ask myself at the end of every day, week, month and year, wherein I could possibly in any respect have done better. How could I have accomplished more? How could I have achieved more? And then the author gives us some possible ideas that might have crossed Edward's mind. So I'll just skip through those. And we'll pick it up again on page 147, kind of in the second paragraph of that page, towards the end of that paragraph. Computing his performance weekly, monthly and yearly, he sought to stimulate his spiritual growth from one level of maturity to the next. So Edwards used various chapters of Scripture to measure his performance. He wrote, December 27th, at the end of each month, to examine my behavior strictly by some chapter in the New Testament, more especially made up of rules of life. So those New Testament passages that kind of lay down principles for life and how we should live our lives. You know, like Sermon on the Mount would be one. You'd have Romans 13. I mean, there's many in Romans you could use, but Romans 13 is a good one. Ephesians 5 and 6 about family relationships and servant-master relationships. Chapters like that, he would read those and say, okay, how am I conforming it? You could read the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians and say, okay, how am I measuring up to this with respect to this last month that I've just had? So so he'd meditate on those things. At the end of the year, he continues, to examine my behavior by the rules of the New Testament in general, reading many chapters. It would also be convenient sometime at the end of the year to read for this purpose in the book of Proverbs. Now, Proverbs is a very practical application of biblical truth to real life situations, and you can measure yourself as to how much you are being conformed to the image of Christ when you look at that. A soft answer turns away wrath. When somebody comes at you in an aggressive way, well, how do I respond? Well, I certainly didn't respond very well there, did I? Because a soft answer turns away wrath. So these are good tools for just keeping our feet on the ground and saying, okay, where are we? Let's not be self-confident. But at the same time, we're evaluating our sanctification here. We're not evaluating whether we are in Christ at this stage. Okay, the next section is tested duties. Edwards resolved to make self-examination a priority when he faced unpleasant and trying times. Okay, I think this is very important and key to what we should be trying to do as well. So he set himself to let his anticipation of difficulties serve as a signal to examine his performance of his duties. So the resolution is 57. Resolved, when I fear misfortunes and adversities, to examine whether I have done my duty and resolve to do it, and let it be just as Providence orders it. I will, as far as I can, be concerned about nothing but my duty and my sin. Okay, so there's adversity upon him now. You can get caught up in, why is this happening to me? Why is this so difficult? Woe is me. Or you can say, okay, what is my responsibility and duty in this context? And how should I go about doing that? And at the same time, I've already sinned and I've reacted to this adversity. And so I need to repent of that and get on with my responsibility and duty. This resolution seems to indicate that Edwards realized he could become disoriented in the midst of trials, losing sight of his Christian responsibilities. When he foresaw trials ahead, he would take stock of and then let it be as Providence orders it. If we could do that. Well, this is Providence. You see, if God is not sovereign, then every circumstance can be questioned that comes into your life. Every circumstance. Well, what brought this about? Was it the guy in front of me at the traffic light that stalled me and now I'm late and then I arrived late here and now this had this car accident? But if that idiot hadn't have stalled me back there, you know, and so now you're angry with him as opposed to saying, Lord, I bow to your providence. Now I need to deal in this context with the situation I find myself in accordance with what is my responsibility. How do I handle this? Edwards knew that ultimately trials were sent by the all-wise sovereign God for his sanctification and spiritual good. If we can remember that, it'll be very helpful when we're in circumstances that we don't particularly like. I need to be sanctified. When you've got a task ahead of you that is just appears to be so big and too big, and you're tired, and okay, well, I'm being sanctified. Yeah, I'm being developed in my endurance, in my strength, in my perseverance, in my reliability. All these things are being developed, and God has brought this into my life in order to accomplish that. And so when we're being sensitive to His truth and our responsibilities, then we can find the energy through His grace and say, Lord, I need your help, but I know what I need to do. My responsibility here is this. Okay, and in that last paragraph on before the end of that section, after the October 4th, have this day fixed and established it, that Christ Jesus has promised me faithfully, that if I will do what is my duty, and according to the best of my prudence in the matter, that my condition in the world shall be better for me than any other condition whatever, and more to my welfare to all eternity. Okay, so we thank the Lord for our circumstances. It's not a chance happening that fell out of left field. Okay, monitoring feelings. In Resolution 60, he says he resolved, whenever my feelings begin to appear in the least out of order, when I am conscious of the least uneasiness within, or the least irregularity without, I will then subject myself to the strictest examination. Whenever his emotions were out of kilter in the least, he purposed to take time to understand the reason for it. He saw that a lack of inner peace should serve as an alarm that something was amiss. It might be that some sin, yet undiagnosed, was causing a lack of contentment. It might be that he was failing to trust God, thereby forfeiting his inner joy. So I'm failing to trust God here. I'm not thinking he's able to work in the situation, that he's in control. These emotion-altering conditions demanded his attention, so that he could make any necessary corrections. So use them as an indicator that maybe there's something wrong. Now we do have feelings, and you know, sometimes our feelings get away that, and we need to just bring them back into check. Because usually it's one of those things. It's either sin or it's lack of faith in God. Thinking, well, this thing is too big for the Lord. This thing is too big for his ability to work out. So he ends off, the search for holiness. Such life inspection encompasses a wide range of activities, from searching out the genuineness of his salvation, to discovering inward sin, to pursuing the better over the good, to measuring his attention to his duties. And Edward saw all such self-inspection as spiritually healthy and critical to his personal growth in grace. Okay, we are to grow in grace. And so Edwards is really trying to lay out some steps. So how do we grow in grace? What does that mean? Does that mean, does this just happen automatically? Does it just kind of osmosis? It just flows into us. We say, no, there's a self-conscious aspect here to growing in grace. And he laid out what he felt was going to assist him toward that end. So that brings us to the end of our study on Edwards. Hope it's been helpful in many ways. I've certainly profited from many of the things that were learned in this little book. Are there any questions or additions to tonight's study? Good. Well, why don't we spend some time in prayer?